Well, good morning, everybody. Hopefully you can hear me fine. It's great that you're here this morning. Just as a word of explanation, I'm going to do what I call kind of an all-in or an all-age talk today. As you can see, the Sunday school kids are in with us this morning, and we don't run Sunday club during holidays to largely give our Sunday club teachers a bit of a break. But as a result, normally one of the weeks around the holiday, we try to do an all-age. I guess there's a bit of give and take involved in that always, so it'll be a bit shorter today, a little bit more engaging for our younger ones. But there is still something here for everyone. I'm still going to be preaching today through these verses in Colossians 2. But I guess there'll be some things that maybe we're not quite as used to as adults, but maybe think of it a way of including our youngsters in our church family. But before I start, let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that every word of it is breathed out from you. And it is useful for us. It teaches us of you. It teaches us how to live for you. And we pray that you would do that today, that you would teach us, that you would help us to grow in our faith of you if we are already Christians. And we pray that you would help us to come to know you, to come to know Christ as our Lord and Saviour, if that's not true for us yet. We thank you so much for children. Thank you for the children that you blessed us with as a church family. And we pray that not only would you teach them as they head out to Sunday club week on week, that you would teach them now as they gather with us as your church family here at Clenisham. And we ask in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a couple of months ago, our kitchen tap broke. And being the DIY expert that I am, as many of you know, I tried to fix it. It got worse. And so my dad happened to be coming the day after, and my dad's quite good at DIY, so we tackled it together. It got worse. And so finally, I called the plumber, or I contacted him on Facebook. He wasn't able to come out, but in the kindness and goodness of his heart, he talked me through it. He talked me through how to fix this tap. Turns out, you just needed the right tool, and you know, 5 minutes later, with the right tool, I was able to fix it. I didn't pay him anything, he didn't want anything for that time. It was out of the kindness of his heart that he wanted to help me out. And naturally, I was very grateful to him and said thank you. And he said these words in response. He said, "I was taught to always try my best for people, so I'm trying to live up to it. I was taught to always try my best for people, and so I'm trying to live up to it." That is, he'd received some sort of teaching, presumably from his parents, that he was to use what gifts that he'd been given to help other people out. And what he was now trying to do, having received that teaching, that he was trying to live that out, as he was helping me on Facebook on a dark, wet Friday night with a loose tap. That idea of receiving some sort of teaching and then living it out, is what is at the heart of these two verses that we're looking at in Colossians chapter 2. I'm not going to test you, but I think James is right. Repetition is the way to learn things well, certainly with Scripture. And so let's try and do that again. What are our verses? With me, 1, 2, 3. "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him." Can anyone remember the next bit? We didn't do it, but we read it. "Strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." I've got some actions. I think we can learn the whole of that. So you ready? Kids, can you do this as well? So then, just as you received, with me, received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. I'll explain that in a sec. Rooted, those tree roots, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Should we do it one more time? "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and with thankfulness. Okay, we're going to do that a few times as we go through and see if we can actually do the whole lot. I think it's doable, although I just got it wrong having practiced it quite a few times this week. Repetition is key. That's our verse. That's the text that we're looking at today. Two verses in Colossians, the shortest one we've done so far. But out of those two verses, I want to draw out two lessons for us. Lessons that the youngest of us can understand and put into practice. And the oldest, whoever that is, I'm not looking at anyone in particular, can also put into practice. And the first is this. Receive Christ Jesus the Lord. Receive Christ Jesus the Lord. We got that in that first bit of verse 6, isn't it? So then, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. I need some volunteers. I also need to make some space. And Nicola, do you mind moving that? Because we're going to need it moved. I need three little ones. And I also need three grown-ups. Okay? Three little ones and three grown-ups. Come up to the front. We've only got three. You count as younger ones. So yeah, Alice and Fionn, do you want to come up? One of the Valarises as well? Do you want to come up? We need this door open. Need three grown-ups as well, don't be shy. Oh, come on, guys.
Nia, make it a perfect three.
Yes, Nia. Need another two. It's not going to work unless someone volunteers. You guys are going to be on one team over here.
Anna, you can be
grown-ups. One of them, we're going to be grown-ups.
Our show's definition of volunteering.
We're going to be grown-ups and little ones. I think you're going to scatter. Let's not do grown-ups and little ones then, but I do need one more. Shy. Just going to involve a little bit of running. Okay, James is coming. What we're going to do is a relay race, okay?
Oh my goodness.
Here's your baton, and here's your baton. And what I want you guys to do as a team, I want you to run to the back of the hall. You know where my study is? You know where I work, the door next to the crash?
I'll go and stand there for help.
Go, Jam. You need to put your hand on my door, and then you run back, and then you've got to give the baton to your sister, okay? You guys, you're going to go that way, round the back, through here, don't trip over the cables, and hand over, round back here. Are you ready? On your marks. Get set. Go.
Go, Westbrook. Go, Westbrook.
Come to receive. Come to receive. Try and trip here.
Okay, very, very close, but team one has it. So, the thing I want you to notice. What can you see that's written on this baton? Oh, you turned it around. You'll have to undo the jigsaw. What does it say? What does it say? What does it say? All of this one. Can you read that one as well? Christ Jesus the Lord. Thank you. Go and sit down. Christ Jesus the Lord. That is what we're talking about when we're talking about receiving something. So what's the verse? So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. This is the baton that the Colossians had received. The translation we're using, the NIV, it talks about Christ Jesus as Lord. They received Christ Jesus as Lord. And I think that's definitely part of it. Jesus Christ is the Lord that's been mentioned in Colossians so far. The one who is king, who is ruler, who is high above everything else, who is in charge of absolutely everything. And these Colossians had received Christ Jesus as Lord. They'd received him as their personal Lord. But I think there's a little bit more in that verse as well. Because when you talk about that verse receiving, that word receiving in the Bible, or in this context anyway, what it has in mind is not just receiving Christ Jesus as a personal Lord, but receiving this kind of set of teachings. That everything that goes with it. Colossians has been full of the fact that Christ Jesus is Lord. But what Paul's talking about is that these Colossians have received Christ Jesus as personal Lord, yes. They've also received everything that's gone along with that. Jesus' teachings about how they were to live that out. We get another hint at it later in our verses, in verse 7, where it talks about being strengthened in the faith as you were taught. That is, that there's a set of teachings, that there's a body of teachings that comes along with Jesus Christ being Lord, the way that Jesus then tells his followers to live it out. That is what these Colossians had received. Christ Jesus as Lord. Christ Jesus, the Lord. And so, I guess I've got a question. Have you? Have you received Christ Jesus, the Lord? Let me talk to the children to begin with. I wonder, children, who is it that you have learnt about Jesus from? Who's taught you about Jesus the most, do you think? Do you want to stick your hands up if you can think of an answer? Who's taught you the most about Jesus? Any ideas? They're probably sitting quite close to you. Mum or dad? Parents? Do you think they've taught you the most about Jesus? You learned it in school, you learned it at church, you learned it in Sunday club, but I bet it's your parents that have taught you the most about Jesus. They've been handing on this faith to you. But do you know that your parents have had it handed to them? They haven't made up themselves. They were given this faith. They were given this teaching about Jesus Christ as Lord, and now they're passing it on to you. Except having it passed on isn't enough. You see, these Colossians, they needed to receive Christ Jesus as Lord. They needed to take it for themselves. They needed to put their faith in Jesus. It's not enough for parents to pass it on. Children need to receive it also. But what about, maybe not the children here, but the adults, the grown-up? Have you received Christ Jesus, the Lord? Your parents may not have been Christians. Your parents might not have handed on to you this body of teaching that we find now in the pages of the Bible. Well, the good news is that this message of Jesus Christ, the Lord, and everything that goes with it isn't family tied. It isn't just kind of passed down in that generational sense, no. The Colossians, they didn't receive it from their parents. They heard it and received it from Epaphras. We learned that a few weeks ago, chapter 1, verse 7. And Epaphras, he had learned about Jesus from Paul. And Paul had learned about Jesus from Jesus Christ himself. Passed down, transmitted. But at each stage, it needed to be received. I wonder, have you received Christ Jesus the Lord? I wonder what that means. Well, if I can take a few verses from Colossians later in this chapter to dig into that a little bit deeper. Have you admitted that you are dead in your sins? That's what Paul goes on to explain. That each and every one of us are dead in our sins, that the way that we've lived means that we're spiritually dead inside. Have you realized that? And have you realized that you need to be made alive by Jesus? Not build up some good works through attending church or like this plumber helping people out as he was taught. No, you need to be made alive. Jesus needs to do that in your heart. Have you accepted that? Have you accepted that you need forgiveness? Because you are dead in your sins, because we all are, as we were born, dead in our sins, we need to be made alive and we need forgiveness. Forgiveness that comes only through the cross of Jesus Christ. Have you pinned your hopes on him and only him? That is what it means to receive Christ Jesus as Lord. You see, I've got to know you. Can you believe it? I've almost been here a year. It's flown by in many ways. But as I've got to know you, as I've spent time with many of you over the last year, which has been a privilege, I've had the chance to get to know you a little bit, to ask questions about Christianity, to chat to you about what you think a Christian is and how you might have become a Christian. And that has been a real delight in many ways. But with some of you, as I've got to have those kind of conversations and ask those kind of questions, like, what is a Christian? What do you understand a Christian to be? There have been times that the answers come back and Jesus hasn't featured. Jesus hasn't been mentioned at all. As I've asked you, what does it mean for you to be a Christian? Now, I get it that some of us, we struggle to put into words the faith that we have and that we truly believe. And I get that, and that's not what I'm talking about here. But at the same time, if you're asked the question, well, what is a Christian? What does it mean for you to be a Christian? If Jesus doesn't get a mention, Jesus doesn't come up, I guess maybe it's worth asking the question, have you received Christ Jesus the Lord? Have you received Christ Jesus the Lord? If not, receive him today. I was praying for you guys this morning, each and every one of you, and the verse that kept on coming back to me as I prayed for you this morning is, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. There is hope with every morning. There is hope with every time you come to this place and hear the good news about Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. Will today be the day of your salvation as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord? As you pray, Lord, help me take and receive and own this message that Christ Jesus is Lord. Then, and only then, can we move on to our second point. Firstly, receive Christ Jesus the Lord. Secondly, this, live with Christ Jesus as Lord. Receive Christ Jesus as Lord. Live with Christ Jesus as Lord. Let's do our memory verse again. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. We are looking at that second bit of verse 6. Continue to live your lives in him. Literally, if you want to go really literally about what the verse says, in him walk, in him live, in him behave. I think the NIV does a really good job at translating what the kind of heart of the message is. Continue to live your lives in him. Now, Paul's point is this, that there's a similarity between the way that we become Christians and the way that we go on as Christians. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus, Lord, continue to live your lives in him. It's like that plumber, it's a dangerous example I'm using, but you'll hopefully see what I mean, who had received this teaching, and so he was living it out. There's a connection between the two, and here it's the same. Just as we receive Christ Jesus, Lord, we are to continue to live our lives in him, living in line with that body of teaching and that we have been handed on. Having Jesus as Lord, having Jesus as the controlling influence in our lives, the one who is in charge. That kind of had to be the case as we first became Christians. We had to recognize something of how Jesus is King, Jesus is ruler, Jesus is Lord. And so to go on in the Christian life, that must continue to be the case. And of course, to understand what it looks like to have Christ Jesus as Lord, we need to listen to his teachings, right? And for the Colossians, that was listening to how Epaphras was explaining things, as Paul had handed it to him, as Christ had handed it to Paul. Well, for us, we don't have an Epaphras, right? But we do have all that we need to know about who Jesus is and how he wants us to live in the book that he has given us. We need to pay attention to live our lives in him. We need to pay attention to what he wants us to do. That's why coming to church is so important, right? Because it's in this place, as one of us comes to the front and explains the Bible, it's one of the main ways that we learn how to continue to live our lives in him. I wonder whether you make this meeting a priority in your lives. That you want to come here every time that we're open to hear the Word of God explained, so that we can be equipped to live our lives in him. And to show us what it means to live our lives in him, Paul gives us four pictures, four images, four ideas in our minds. We've looked at two of them already. The first is that idea of a tree. That's why I went for roots. That was the best I could do, I'm afraid. I'm not sure if that works as well. But roots. Do you know that 1.5 times the height of a tree is underneath the ground in its roots? 1.5 times the height of a tree, or some trees at least, are underground. That idea of being strong and secure. The wind batters these trees, and yet because of their anchors, because of their roots, they are strong and secure in the ground. The idea is the same here. The picture of a tree is that we are to be rooted, grounded, secure, safe in him, in Jesus. A strong Christian is someone who continues to live their lives in him by being rooted in him. We get another picture. It's that idea of being built up. Children, I've given you a Duplo piece. Do you want to come to the front at the moment, at this time? And you want to put it on the base here, and we'll make a little tower. It's going to be quite a little one. There's only three of you today. Come on up and put it down. We'll make a tower as we build up our tower on this base. Put it on top. Great, thank you. Go on, Emily, on the top. Thanks very much. You can go back to your seats now. That's the second picture that Paul gives. Rooted in Christ, but built up in him as well. A strong building has good foundations, right? Is built up well. And to be a strong Christian, to continue to live our lives in him, is to be built up in Jesus. To be connected to him. We got a third picture given to us. Strengthened in the faith. That's why, again, that's not the best example, I don't think, because it is to be strengthened, not someone that's already strong, but someone that God is strengthening in the faith as you were taught. You see, the way we are to live our lives in him is to be strengthened in that teaching that we receive of Christ Jesus being Lord. These pictures are full of strength. We're full of a solid foundation, someone who is established, someone who is firm in their commitment to Jesus Christ, as they have been taught. And a fourth picture. I, in my mind, have a picture of a water fountain, not the kind of water fountain you drink from, but the water fountains you get in cities like Rome, where the water is overflowing, is abounding, is excelling. Paul talks about not overflowing with water, but overflowing with thankfulness. You see, I think there's a danger for us as we go on as Christians. The stronger we become as Christians, the more knowledge that we build up about Jesus and about God and about the Bible, we can so often become duller. We can become boring. We can become dry. We can become even grumpy. I think it's a particular danger for those of us who've been Christians for a long time, or for those who've been brought up in Christian homes. But Paul's antidote here is thankfulness. Thankfulness to God for Jesus Christ the Lord, for this body of teaching, this way of living that he is spelling out for us. Four pictures. Rooted in him, built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. What does all that look like in practice? We've got these pictures given to us. They're pictures of strength. I hope you can see that it's a positive thing, something to aspire to. But What does all that look like in practice? Well, that's what the rest of the letter of Colossians is all about. These two verses are a turning point in our letter. As Paul moves from what he exalting Christ so much in this first chapter and a half, he turns now to the practical nitty-gritty of what does it look like to continue to live our lives in him. So you want to know what it looks like in practice? Come back next week, and Steve will be taking us through the next section. But for this week, as we look at these two verses, what are the take-homes? What does God want to teach us? Two questions. Two questions for you to mull over this week. Will you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Will you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? And then having done that, will you decide to continue to live your lives in him? We'll work out the detail in the weeks to come. Let's finish with our memory verse to see if we can remember it all this week. And I encourage you to revisit it each and every time, each and every day possibly. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that Christ Jesus is Lord. Thank you that he is King over everything. Thank you that he is a good ruler. Thank you that nothing doesn't put a foot wrong in all that he does. Thank you that one day the whole of this universe, down the ages, will see him to be the king that he truly is. And we thank you for the fact that you have led so many of us to make him our personal Lord and Saviour, that you've handed on this faith, this teaching to us. Father, we pray that you'd help us to receive that, perhaps for the first time today. And Lord, for those of us who are already Christians, we pray that you'd help us to continue to live our lives in him. Help us never to move on from him. Help us never to add anything to him. Help us never to take anything away from who he is and what he has done. And we pray that you would make us strong Christians, those who continue in the faith, those who continue to live our lives for him. Lord, we need your help. We need you to strengthen us in this faith. Please, Lord, would you do that for each and every one of us? In your name we ask. Amen.